It includes granite countertops. It includes stainless steel appliances. It includes an open floor plan. It includes spa-like bathrooms. It includes sinning against God. The ninth commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. There's only one person in the whole world who has the nicest house, and we can be pretty confident that that person is wishing they didn't have so much cleaning to do and pining for something a little more simple and quaint. I've said it before, I'm sure I'll say it again. We can't be thankful for what we have when we're coveting what we do not have. In food, there's a clear distinction between having a healthy diet and gluttony. Just so, when it comes to possessions, there's a fine distinction between having an appreciation for a home, an architecture, or design, and coveting, desiring, lusting for something you do not have. And that's a miserable feeling, and God invites us to leave that feeling behind and instead feel contentment. Now, the first eight commandments we went through deal primarily with our actions, killing somebody, stealing from somebody, how we act. With coveting, though, things get a lot more personal. It's not just what we do. It goes right into our heart and to our soul. And most of us probably would never actually go try to steal somebody's house. You wouldn't put on a ski mask and grab a pistol and break in a window at midnight and go into somebody's house and run them out of there and claim it as your own. That we know would be wrong. But God says it's also wrong to even have that yearning for something nicer than what you have. This also is sin, and contentment then would be the goal. There's a lot of things you could say about our contemporary American society, but surely one thing that nobody would claim is that we are a content society. I don't think there's a person in this room that would raise their hand and say contentment and gratitude is a hallmark of our society. Instead, I'd go so far as to take it to the other extreme and say, from what I've read and seen, we are the greediest society ever. How does that happen? I've heard it illustrated this way. Imagine it's a hot summer day, because they're coming. It's a hot summer day, and you take your child to an ice cream store to get an ice cream cone. They're hot, they're miserable, they're sweaty. And yet, what comes to them is heaven in a hand, right? A perfect vanilla ice cream cone with the swirl and the little spinny thing at the top. And can you see their face when they receive that ice cream cone? Just joy and bliss, ecstasy. You can see their face? Okay, now imagine somebody else comes up to the counter after you. And they get what they ordered. A 10-scoop sundae in a chocolate-covered bowl, covered with sprinkles, chocolate chips, M&Ms, Heath bars, pecans, gummy bears, freshly whipped cream, and 35 cherries. Now look at the child's face. No longer joy, no longer contentment, no longer gratitude. Now they're staring at this bland, boring, cheap little vanilla ice cream cone. I could be better off on the side of the highway. But before we ever look down on a child, which by now we've learned is the most vile of sins, we need to acknowledge that adults do the exact same thing. Our car might be okay until we see our neighbor's new one. Our house might be okay until we see one on TV. Straight on down the line with possessions. That's just how it goes. What God gives us, we should be thankful for and content with. And yet instead, we keep yearning for something better that someone else has. A lot of the people in the room are parents, so, and some of you might be parents. So a message to the parents, that what happens in the ice cream store guides what happens when they're 16 and getting their first vehicle, and it affects what happens when they're 18 and looking for an apartment, and when they're 22 and looking for a spouse. If you raise a greedy child, someday you're going to walk a greedy daughter down the aisle and place her in the hands of a greedy man to live a greedy life, lustily clicking along on Amazon and hungrily reading store ads and store ads alone. This is one of those commandments that's easy because we know we do it. Some of us can't even imagine not doing it. We know we covet, we know we yearn for something better than what we have. But we also know we don't want to covet. We also know we want the treasure of our life to be more than just a little bit of junk that ends up at a yard sale or in the dump. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And we know we want a treasure that doesn't end up at the side of a road or bulldozed into the dump, but a treasure that endures even when the seas dry and the mountains crumble, even when the sun and the moon fade and the stars fall for the last time. But even then, a faith that endures. A home in heaven built by God. Please rise and let us pray. Dear God, thank you for all that you've given us. We thank you for all the things we prayed for and you gave us, and the things we didn't even think to pray for and you gave us anyway. Help us to not let the gifts you've given us become distractions. Help us not be spoiled little children who can't appreciate what we have and only yearn for what someone else has. Give us hearts that just hunger for you and a peace and joy with you and a home with you in glory. In Jesus' name we pray.